our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub-2K. This is like a really, really innovative gun. I don't know if you're familiar with, you have to be familiar with what Kel-Tec does, right? I mean, it's a great Florida company. They have a great origin story too, which we'll save for another time. But the Sub-2K, it's awesome carbine. It's reliable. It's accurate. It's super lightweight and it folds in half. It's like firearm origami. You can get it 9mm or 50 cal. It picks up where handguns leave off. I mean, you can tuck it up, fold it up, literally fold it up and tuck it away when you got limited space, but it's super quick to deploy, so to speak, when you need to, whether it's for, you know, you're going to the range or whether it's home defense or anything like that. The cool thing is, too, is that it has options for several popular magazines like Glock, Smith & Wesson, 6 Hour. It's really makes it much easier to take along because there's so much less to take with you. So from right now all the way up until March of next year, Kel-Tec is offering a $100 rebate program on any newly purchased Sub-2K from a licensed dealer. So you buy a Sub-2K, you get $100. That's awesome. And you can take advantage of that all the way up until March of 2024. And the Sub-2K, like I said, I got this. I have this car. It's awesome. Easily disassembled for cleaning, inspection, intuitive sights, adjustable stock. Love it. Learn more about the Sub-2K and that $100 rebate program. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
This is a map of San Francisco. There's a lot of plots on that. You may be asking, what is that plotting? Well, this is an app where they plot the human feces that are found on the streets of San Francisco. And you see how almost the whole thing is covered, because that is what has happened in one of the previous greatest cities this country's ever had. Human feces is now a fact of life, except when a communist dictator comes to town. Then they cleaned up the streets. They lined the streets with Chinese flags. They didn't put American flags there. They cleaned everything up. So they're willing to do it for a communist dictator, but they're not willing to do it for their own people.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Finish him! Oh my gosh, you guys! This is the debate that we wanted. This is the debate that we needed. This is the debate that we got. I haven't been this excited. I don't know what I like started hitting buttons. I get very excited. I'm just like, what do I do with my hands? Some people are like, what's wrong with you? Are you drunk? I had some guy ask that online. I'm like, do you not know me? I am wrapped up to 11 most times. No. Can you imagine what it would be like if I were, though? That's insane. So welcome to the show. Dana Lash here. Blah, blah, blah. You can listen. You guys just want to talk about this debate. You're like, yeah. We know that. We know who you are. Well, just in case some people don't. Dana Lash, you can listen coast to coast, all over the country, all that good stuff. Can we really, seriously? That debate was like a salve to my soul. It was really amazing. That was the poop map portion of the debate. Not to be confused with the genderqueer portion of the debate. Oh, that happened. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I have so many. This was the debate that we really needed. And this was the debate where I thought this could break or make Ron DeSantis as much as Iowa. Because Gavin Newsom is, everyone's like, oh, but Gavin is such a good debater. He's such a good debater, everybody, with the debates. He's so good. How often have you ever heard that, Kane?
Every time.
He's so good. Gavin Newsom is such a good debater. You heard that over and over again. Okay, well. He has a lot of baggage, but, you know, a good attitude can get over baggage. We've learned that. A good attitude can get over a lot of stuff, right? If you seem like you're nice. And so that's kind of, I don't know who prepped. Well, you can tell Nikki Fried prepped him because holy cow. I mean, at one point in the debate, I was like, who prepped him? For real, who prepped this guy? It was one of the worst. It was bad. He got beaten so bad. They have been having a meltdown all day today. And they had a meltdown last night. And his busybody Real Housewives of Poop Map decided to like get mad and they intervened. It was his wife. She was the one who threw the towel in last night. Every friend I have who was there was like, oh my gosh, she was up and immediately in people's faces. She was the one who threw the towel in for Gav because he was mercilessly beaten. Mercilessly beaten. And at some point, I mean, I knew this was going to be over. As soon as it started and I got the temperature, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is over. It's already over. It's already done. I mean, you didn't even need to just, you know, repeatedly dunk on him the way that he did. I mean, it was just something. All right. So it was a really fascinating contrast between the choices that we have, the choices that we're facing. I also have maybe perhaps a less popular opinion. I think this is a debate that we've wanted kind of on the right in some ways. And we did get it a little bit. As often as the front runner was quoted on stage for the Republican primary, it's like he was there. I'm just saying. And you know I'm right. You can get mad at me, but you're like, damn it, Dana, you're right. See, that's why we're friends. This was the debate that Americans wanted, though. It was like I said, it was like watching a seasoned boxer mercilessly beat a character from Lazy Town to death. And at some point, you just kind of winced whenever Newsom opened his mouth because you're like, oh, my gosh, why? You're going to get murdered again. I mean, it's just it's going to be so bad. Why are you still doing this? I mean, he kept doing it. And couldn't you tell at some point that you really could tell that he was frustrated. You could tell that Newsom was trying to tweak DeSantis. And DeSantis was just like, yeah, I'm not going to get tweaked. Not going to happen. So like he was there. He was there to chew gum and kick ass. And he was all out of gum. I mean, it was like they live. Go ahead, you got to turn my fare go up today, man. Well, what were you doing? Well, you got
it? I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
He was all out of bubble gum last night. So he brought the show and tell. The poop map was just one thing. Right in the very beginning, Hannity started off with, and at some point, I think Hannity was like, what do I do? He started off and asking about all the people that are leaving California. And every time he asked Newsom a question, Newsom's just like, argle, bargle, bargle, and he just wouldn't answer it. That's all he did. He would not answer the question. How many questions was he asked? I stopped keeping count. He just wouldn't answer a single question. It wasn't going to happen. And so he got, and then you had this stunner, audio soundbite 9. This was a real stunner. Don't you say her name wrong. Listen.
Why the kids were locked out of school for so long. Joe Biden is in the pocket of the teachers union, and so is Kamala Harris. That's why they fought school openings.
Kamala Harris.
When he
Shame
came
on
in
you.
There,
it's Kamala
when they had
Harris,
that in
Ron.
There.
It's Kamala
Biden came
Harris,
into office
Madam
and he
Vice
brought in
President.
The teacher union
oh,
to be
gosh.
Able to do
Stop
all
insulting.
These different things to try to keep the schools closed.
Oh, so, sir, it's ma'am. Sir, it's ma'am. Oh my gosh. That's true. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Excuse
oh.
me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That I thought was real lame from Gaff. That was a lame one, wasn't it? Yeah, that was a lame one. Because he just, it's coma. But he might actually, well, audio sound by 13. He might want to maybe say that to Joe, too. Listen to how Joe pronounces it.
City and state leaders, but as Kamala said, we're
well,
all
heck.
Closely monitoring
so,
the storm.
Kamala, that's like a whole different thing. So it's Madam Vice President to you, argle, bargle, bargle. I just, oh my gosh, I'm telling you, I it was there. Now wait a minute. This was also one of my favorite moments. We're going to get the silly stuff out of the way first because we deserve it, guys. We have schlepped through this. I watched this debate last night and I was marking all this audio all the way up until and getting all this ready to the wee hours. You will indulge me because I was in my element. It was a lot of fun. Debates have been so boring. I love that there was no studio audience. Screw the studio audience. You don't need to be in there. It's better for all of us. Audio soundbite 6. This was hysterical. Listen.
One point tried to say that California was the freedom state. I just kind of laugh like you're locking people down. You're doing all this. But then I thought about it. You know, California does have freedoms that some people don't, that other states don't. You have the freedom to defecate in public in California. You have the freedom to pitch a tent on Sunset Boulevard. You have the freedom to create a homeless encampment under a freeway and even light it on fire. You have the freedom to have an open air drug market and use drugs. You have a freedom, if you're an illegal alien, to get all these taxpayer benefits.
Gavin
so those
no
are freedoms.
Did you
They're
see
not
his
the freedoms
head,
our founding
Bob?
Fathers envisioned, but they have contributed to the destruction of the quality of life in California, and the results speak for themselves. People are leaving the state because they have failed in addressing the homeless.
This was so good. So everyone has always been like, Ron DeSantis' expressions, though. Well, now you see what they were made for. He had the ability to be just a savage smartass. And then his eyes were, it was like Ralphie from A Christmas Story, his big giant eyes. And just like, well, you have the freedom to do this, and then you have the freedom to light it on fire. And then Gavin Newsom, he got so mad. Did you guys see this? I stopped this clip. I can't tell you how many times I put that. There was there's like a 3-second section of this clip where he pinches in the corners of his mouth so dang tight, like a coin purse. And then he just bobs his head real quick back and forth. He's so mad. And then his cheeks got a little red. I'm just saying, you can tell it. He was ticked. That was hysterical. And everyone, and what are you going to say to that? He's right. You have more freedom to take a deuce in the street, set the deuce on fire if you want to, and then in a tent. You have more freedom to do that than anything else in California. No wonder people are leaving. They're like, well, we really love living by the ocean, to love the mountains, but what we don't love are all the homeless people setting fires and dropping deuces literally everywhere. I mean, it's kind of a problem when your whole damn highway burns down because you won't do anything about the homeless encampment. Kind of a problem. Well, I guess we'll have to stay home. We can't get anywhere. Homeless encampments burned everything down again. And then, like, you could try anyway. You have to practically make a canoe to get through just the mounds of feces just to get where you need to go. Here's my one criticism of the DeSantis camp. When they threw up the poop map. Now, hear me out. It's a very serious suggestion. I'm doing serious professional lady radio here. Okay. What I really think, in all seriousness, the DeSantis camp needed to do to really seal this and just bring the point home is when you did see, you know, the Google poop map, where citizens of San Francisco so helpfully mark all the defecation areas in and around the city. All you got to do is just take it one step further and turn all those brown markers into a photo mosaic of Gavin Newsom's face. Now that would have been chef's kiss. It would have been a maze. But that's the only thing. I mean, granted, I mean, you probably didn't think of that at the time, but when you're looking at the map, you're like, that would have really sealed the deal. Just saying, I mean, double sealed it, I guess. So I don't really think that there's a question. I mean, I was getting ready to write this very serious piece about this debate, and then it wasn't even a contest. I'm like, well, I cannot be serious about this. Does that tell you, though, the difference between our two ideologies here? When you hear Gavin Newsom try to defend this stuff, he's serious, but it doesn't sound like he's a serious person because it's insane. It is instant. Well, yeah, I totally believe, just let the government take all your money and, let people throw their drug needles in the streets, set highways on fire, make your life hell. That's totally fine. When he defends these policies, it sounds crazy. It was like listening to a well put together crazy person try to defend the worst ideas you could possibly imagine with government. It's really hard to take that seriously. I think that's why DeSantis had so much fun with it last night. So I also wish I could have been there to see his wife go full on Karen and say, no, he can't. He's got other. All of a sudden, we just remembered all of these engagements that he had. Does he have to go meet his mistress? Like, what was up? Like, why did he have to jet out of there? It looked like he wanted to stay. But then again, I think he was saying that he would just to try to save face because DeSantis said that he would. I think DeSantis really would have. A lot of people who live in California, I noticed last night, were saying that this was the first time that they ever saw DeSantis, or not DeSantis, but Newsom, be really challenged. And I don't think any type of politician could challenge Newsom on a debate stage like that. You cannot be like Newsom's attitude and challenge Newsom. You have to be like a wall against which his snark and smarminess crashes. So this was a gamble for DeSantis to do this debate, because this could have been, if he was unprepared, if he wasn't on his game, this could have blown up in his face and it could have been a disaster. This was one of the smartest gambles that the campaign's made. Super, super smart move. We got a lot more because, I mean, I didn't even get to the book part yet. My gosh, you guys. So I'm so glad that we get to, doom scrolling and all that other stuff, that we get to bring you some fun stuff this Friday. Our partners over at Niemi Skincare, one of the things that we've seen in the past couple of years that's been absolutely bizarre are skin companies that are predominantly for women actually trying to promote products to women using men. and saying that, oh, well, men and women can use it and they'll have, you know, trans men who are cosplaying as women try to sell women's skincare items. Women's needs are different from men's needs. This is also science. And it doesn't matter what decade of your life that you're in. What you use in your 30s, you didn't use in your 20s and vice versa. Women in their 50s use stuff different from women in their 40s and their 30s. That's just the facts of life. Niemi Skincare understands this. So not only is everything that they make right here in the US of A, but they use only the best ingredients in all of their products, which, by the way, are not tested on animals, nor do they use parabens or any other dangerous bad stuff. Niemi Skincare is conservative owned and it's easy. They have easy to incorporate into your skin routine. They also understand that a lot of the stuff that companies make are just stuff to sell you extra things, right? You need basic stuff to make your skin look great and as young as it possibly can look. And that's what they have. They have, for instance, they have their super moisturizing anti-aging products. It's the ultimate routine, and that helps to moisturize and protect the skin. You have to check it out. They have all different types of products for your type of skin that you are dealing with. Niemi Skincare products, again, 100% guaranteed. They ship right to your door, and you don't have to compromise your values to have great skin. NIMIskincare.com. Use promo code Dana, get 10% off. Your skin will thank you. That's Niemi Skincare.
Even if you got a raise last year, you're still going backwards. Prices have come down, but they are not lower than they were last year. If you hear that violent crime is down 6%, it's still 25% higher than it was in 2019. Don't get hit by the spin zone. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Gosh, one of the most ridiculous Irish punk rockers ever, Shane McGowan. Yesterday, 65 years of age, of course. Like, it's so incredibly ironic that one of their most famous songs for the Pogues was Fairytale New York, a Christmas song. But he mixed punk with, like, Celtic style, and it was just really, really cool. But he was a really great, great singer-songwriter and passed away. He was dealing with, he had been hospitalized, and he had been dealing with serious health issues for quite a while. But he passed away at age 65. We're going to have to talk about our celebrity trio. You remember my grandma's rule about celebrity deaths, because Sandra Day O'Connor also passed away today. Supreme Court Justice, who had been put on the bench by Ronald Reagan. She passed away today as well. And I think we've talked about this before. My grandma had a rule of three. I know. Well, we got to talk about this. She was the first woman to serve as a U.S. Supreme Court Justice, and she's passed away at age 93 years old. So, man, what a crazy time. Everybody's, this is just, I don't know, like, what is it? Who was the other one that we had? We had Shane McGowan. Henry Kissinger and Shane McGowan on the same day. Yeah, that's right. Also, let's see, a couple of other things. Anthony Fauci is expected to testify in the House on the Rona's origins, according to lawmakers. They said he has finally agreed. They finally nailed this down. He's going to testify. Tesla's long-awaited Cybertruck is to start at about $61,000. I watched this last night. I watched a video of a literal child's drawing, Porsche 911. In a drag race where it beat the Porsche 911. So we have to talk about this whole thing. A woman, 70 years old, gave birth to twins in Uganda. 70 years old, and you're given... Yeah, and she's given birth to twins in Uganda. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Pending home sales have dropped to a record low, even worse than during the financial crisis. And the mystery Mexican aliens, they say, are definitely not human, and they have a 30% DNA of unknown species. I'm still calling shenanigans on this. I'm calling shenanigans. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Friends at Wise Food, Wise Food Storage. Only this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Wise Foods is giving you a second chance at Black Friday savings. They're offering an additional 20% off site-wide with no exclusions. This is the perfect Christmas gift. So Wise Foods, you can give a gift that means more than just buying somebody more stuff that they have to store. I mean, come on, consumerism is getting out of hand. Look at the world around us. What really matters is, well, you want to make sure you're prepared. Emergency food, you can't predict when you need it, so don't leave it to chance. You'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And honestly, I mean, with some of the stuff that's going on in the world, not to mention the way that each state is also prepared to deal and accommodate with weather, ice storms, Texas, all that stuff. I mean, honestly, you got to think of it. It sounds like you're going to need it. Visit preparewithdana.com. You're going to get that additional 20% off. Again, it's anything site-wide. It's affordable, super high-protein content, everything the body needs, high-quality U.S. ingredients, and you have more total calories compared to other brands. So only Friday through Sunday, 20% off site-wide, no exclusions. Order yours today at preparewithdana.com. Save an additional 20% site-wide, no exclusions, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only at preparewithdana.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Want to have that injected into the elementary school. My wife and I have a 7, 5, and a 3-year-old. We don't think that that's appropriate. And I know most parents do not think it's appropriate. It's also important to respect parental rights to know what curriculum is being used in the classroom, and everything should be age appropriate. I actually have something that I brought that some parents have objected to. So this is a book that's in some of the schools in California. Florida, this is not consistent with our standards, called Gender Queer. Some of it's blacked out. You would not probably be able to put this on air. This is pornography. It's cartoons. It's aimed at children, and it's wrong. So this should not be in schools.
We can't even show you.
When people like on the left say that somehow you're banning books by removing this from a young kid's classroom. No, this is not age appropriate. And so we're going to stand for the rights of parents. I think we need to do that nationwide. I don't think you can have a situation where some states just trample on the rights of parents. Parents have a fundamental right to direct the education and upbringing of their kid.
So this was a great point that DeSantis made in the debate. And when he pulled that book out, the whole room, we were all watching this. Everyone collectively went, "Oh my gosh!" Welcome back to the debate, or actually the show, recapping the debate, part of it anyway. We've got a lot of stuff to hit today. Dana Lash here with you. Listen, coast to coast, I'm pretty wound up today because I haven't had my regular Black Rifle coffee because my coffee machine's broken. So I'm going to complain and feel sorry for myself, my first world problem here in a little bit. You guys know how it is. It's hard stuff. I'm about ready to put some grinds in hot water and just say, like, to hell with it. That's what my grandpa did. Just about ready to do that. So anyway, welcome back to the show. Bottom of this first hour. That was the first moment that the debate was lost entirely. It was irrevocably lost at that moment. So get this. So the story that came out later, because Gavin Newsom's wife was so mad. She was the one who threw in the towel because apparently they were going to go for 20 more minutes. That had been an option, as I understand it. It wasn't scheduled like an official part of, like, it wasn't going to go that long officially. But if they both agreed to it, then they were going to extend it because he still had 20 minutes of airtime to film. And so Newsom and DeSantis both agreed. And then Jennifer Newsom, the first break they got, right when Hannity went to break, she got up and was in faces and was like, "This is not happening." They were livid because they said that DeSantis brought props and they were mad. They said, "You cheated." They literally said that. I am not making this up. That is literally what his actual campaign people, using their real names, said on record when they were complaining to members of the press. You cannot make this up. Politico has the piece. I tweeted about this earlier. They said that Newsom's people were upset and that they were mad. They said he cheated. They said that DeSantis is cheating. They dispute the charges. They were mad. They said the debate was rigged. They said, I wish I could. Kane looks like Chris Pratt making the "oh my gosh" face right now. They said, quote, "The debate was rigged." That is Newsom advisor Sean Clegg to Politico. They said the debate was rigged. I would love to get involved in the mental gymnastics it takes to make that statement and believe the statement that you're making. So he and Newsom's like, "Oh, I had fun. That was great." And I'm like, "Well, at least you showed up." But his campaign complaining about this is hysterical. It's rigged. How is this rigged? Did that not happen? Did he not? First off, let me get something right. Let's set this record straight. As Kane is just, say it, Kane, because you're making literally said the words in my head.
So one side being unprepared is now the other side cheating? Is that what we're doing?
That's the thing, yes. Okay. So, like, if we both take a test, Kane, and, like,
and,
say
and
that
I didn't study at all,
then it would be cheating. I'd be cheating.
You'd
if
be cheating
I studied
because
and
you
didn't. Because, yeah.
Wow.
Well, he had Nikki Fried helping prepare. What does Nikki Fried do? Nothing. Yeah. I'm going to have the biggest loser in Florida. Help me prepare another loss. I mean, if you were going for losing, then that's who you would bring in. You'd bring in losers to help you with a losing debate. That makes sense. I mean, maybe that's what he's going for. I don't know. Maybe we all just don't understand that he was trying to show Joe Biden that he's really not going for his role, his position. Here's the thing, though. Like, I don't understand. I recognize it, but I don't understand how you can tie yourself up mentally to where you see all of this from a candidate, you know, like Gavin Newsom. He's a candidate. Shush. We all know this. You see this from Gavin Newsom, and he has people that still excuse it. I mean, as a governor, he is so bad. And he's been in the higher offices of California, elected office. I mean, I think he was going, I think it was in college, I think, when he started his career. He's been in politics for forever. And so you're there for that long. Some of the culpability at some point, you got to take responsibility for it. When you're AG, when you're mayor of San Francisco, when you're AG, when you're governor, at some point you start to have to take a little bit of culpability, right? You have insanely high taxes, insanely high crime. Good grief. No one's safe. The property values. I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, you all know this. So how is... It's not cheating if you are unprepared to deal with these issues that you have helped create as part of your policy. It's not a rigged debate. And to watch these people, they know all this baggage about him, but they're so into the cult of personality that they will defend him to the limit. Well, sure, there's a poop map, but how dare you besmirch Gavin Newsom? Well, sure, yeah. I mean, he was out there promoting genderqueer to be included in schools. But how dare you besmirch? I mean, these people are so blindly. I mean, it's like a cult with him. And I don't think some people outside of California see that. Like, we see it and we're like, oh my gosh, he's such a bad candidate. He's such a bad politician. But his base adores him. Absolutely adores him. Makes any excuse possible. Oh, it's not that he's a bad politician. It's that the debate was rigged. It's not that he was a bad governor. It's that DeSantis cheated. Interesting. Now, to this point as well, this to this debate last night, there were so many really, really insightful moments. And here's one that I wanted to get. This one made me mad. It made some of my friends mad. Audio soundbite 8. Because he touched on this issue with firearms. Listen to this.
You had one of the worst mass shootings in American history, Parkland. 17 kids were gunned down, lives lost, 17 others, lives torn asunder. You had a young girl by the name of Jamie Gutenberg, whose father pleaded with you to do something about it. And you know what you did? You did the exact opposite. You made it easier for felons to get guns without background checks, without any training. These people pleaded with the parents and the families to get tough on gun safety. And again, you made it easier for felons.
So I don't understand this. And I will say that the father that he mentioned is a father that has so horrifically abused me online. I mean, I understand when you lose someone, but that doesn't entitle you to try to victimize other individuals and use that as an excuse for your political zeal. I don't see it from Ryan Petty. I don't see it from Andy Pollack. I don't see it from the Borges family. And those are all families that I've gotten to know and become very close to. Some of the other families, Parkland families, were livid over this last night. First off, I don't understand his claim that the Florida governor made it easy for felons to get guns. I know a lot of you out there watching understand this, but for maybe those who don't, you have federal law. The federal law that deals with the section of federal law that deals with firearms and prohibited possessors, meaning someone who has been adjudicated or a judge made a determination upon someone in a court of law that their actions willfully undertaken, they're too violent, they pose a danger to themselves or others, therefore they are a prohibited possessor. Now, we can have a conversation about different levels of what constitutes prohibition, etc. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the law as it is. And he does not have the law. No governor has the law to undermine 18 U.S.C. subsection, 1922 A through Z. That's the whole section. Doesn't go all the way to Z, but that's the whole section that deals with firearms and regulation of who can possess, who can't. Even interstate sales, which a lot of the gun control people try to hide behind, those are still federally regulated. And anyone who says otherwise doesn't know enough about the law to talk about it. They're still federally regulated because there exists a federal penalty if you violate the law. If you are a prohibited possessor and you buy a firearm in your state of residence or in your state not where you're not a resident, that's a crime. If you're a prohibited possessor and you still are trying to possess a firearm, that is a crime. It is not a loophole. That's like saying drunk driving is a loophole. It's not. It's a crime. And it's still federally regulated. And there's a federal penalty because there is a federal regulation on the activity. So stop saying that there's any aspect of this that is not regulated by the federal damn government. It's simply not true. And him getting up there and saying this stuff is what's asinine. California's had more mass casualty incidents than Florida. I mean, and some of the most recent ones as well. And despite the fact that all of their gun control that they have, they still have a very, very high homicide rate as it involves illegally possessed firearms. So I'm trying to figure out how, as governor of Florida, to go with Newsom's claim, DeSantis made it easier somehow for felons to, did he undermine federal law? And then I would love for Newsom, that would have been my question. I would love for you, Governor Newsom, to explain to me how, as Florida governor, in my capacity, I somehow undermined federal law. Go ahead and explain to everyone the process of how that would happen. Just embarrass him, because it's ridiculous. But I also think, in part, Newsom was trying to push his buttons so he could get a negative reaction out of him, and it would make DeSantis look bad, and DeSantis didn't take the, he didn't take the bait. I know that I have been, a lot of the gun control people, that's what they've tried to do to me. They'll say things, they would say things about me. They would say things about me as a mother. They would go after my kids. They would say all this horrible stuff to try to get a rise out of me. It's bait. And you just have to realize, you go back to, and I'm not saying this to be a smart aleck. I think it's good life advice. You go back to the Roadhouse School of Dealing with Conflict, Dalton School of Dealing with Conflict. It is a string of words that are prescribed to elicit a specific reaction from you, and you are the power element. You can choose to empower that statement or not, and you have to make a choice not to. Some being emotional about it is weakness. Looking at it logically and knowing when to react and when not to react, that's strength. And Newsom was trying to get a rise out of him, and it wasn't working. But it actually hurt and made a lot of Parkland families mad, because when you go back and look at this with Florida, it was Scott Israel who, it was the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Commission, when they got all gathered together, and they had, and it was a very bipartisan, I mean seriously bipartisan, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, all of them. You had lawmakers, parents, security experts, Sheriff J.D. Grudd was on it. My friends Ryan Petty and Andy Pollack were on this commission, and they all sat, they looked through everything. They were trying to figure out what the breakdown was and how to prevent it from ever happening again. And what they discovered was stunning. In Scott Israel's department there in Broward County, those officers had not been kept up to date with active response training. That came out in the commission. Did you know that? Or was the media too busy throwing up gun control activists on screen, impugning the character of law-abiding gun owners, to actually cover that very important fact? Because that's what happened in Broward. So they discovered that that they had not even been kept up with the current. They were supposed to, but they hadn't. Scott Israel was such an unpopular sheriff. The police union voted unanimously no confidence in him. I cannot tell you the number of Broward officers that privately and personally contacted me to tell me how disgusted they were and had been for a while at Scott Israel. And it was a disgust that had been growing after the Fort Lauderdale airport shooting and the response that he had to that, because it was abysmal. So that was a problem. DeSantis removed Scott Israel. He removed the two bad Soros DAs, and the families cheered it. The left tried to reinstate all of them, and guess what? The Florida State Senate said, no, actually, this is perfectly within, he's absolutely within his capacity and power and authority as governor to do so, and it was allowed to stand. You actually had gun control people fight to keep the people who helped make this tragedy happen, to keep them in those same positions of power. And Gavin Newsom shares a party and has defended those people. So you tell me who did more. Charlatan. Our friends over at the Headrest Safe, this is like the Christmas gift to get. Because I guarantee you, you got somebody on your Christmas list and they're really difficult to buy for. And it's kind of one of those people. Well, I guarantee you they don't have a headrest safe, and I guarantee you that they would be happy to have a headrest safe. The headrest safe is really innovative. It's the best vehicle safe that's out there. I mean, bar none. It got Concealed Carry Magazine's Editor's Choice Award for Best in Class Vehicle Safe. Now, yes, it's designed as a gun safe, which is basically like saying, yes, it's designed as like the toughest safe you can get for your car. It's easy to access. I mean, you can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. You got a magnetic access door, user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader, keypad, hard key, all that. But you can also use it, obviously, for things that are not guns, like medication or jewelry or other valuables. I mean, we're rolling into the holiday season. A lot of people drive to grandmother's house we go, and maybe you don't want to bring all your stuff in. If you're staying with family or if you're staying in a hotel, whatever it is, maybe you want to keep it in your headrest safe. Now, this thing is super, super easy to install. It locks securely in place with a deployable toggle bolt. I'm not allowed to use a drill in my house because of reasons. But I've installed this. And if I can do it, your child can do it. Your two-year-old can do this. And it's not going anywhere after you put it in your vehicle. And it's absolutely seamless because they have the material that they use. They can blend it in with your car's interior. They can match over 80% of the stuff that they put on your headrest. And again, the passenger side headrest, so it doesn't interfere with any kind of driver safety at all. Super useful, super smart, super affordable because they've lowered the price by $100 in time for the holidays. And with code Dana, you can save an additional $50 off. So get your headrest safe at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana. Get an exclusive $50 off. That's theheadrestsafe.com. Code Dana, $50 off, 100% money back guarantee.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Funny, you don't look Palestinian.
From the nation to the sea, Palestine.
From the nation to the sea.
No, from the mountains to the sea.
From the mountains to the sea.
That's what we want.
From the mountains to the sea?
Yeah.
Which mountains? You don't know, eh?
Wow, that is like the video avatar for 99% of the people that you see holding those flags. They just don't know. They don't know. You're from the nation to the sea. What? What? I mean, the mountains. The mountains. What mountains? She's like, I don't know. They don't even know what they just. I don't know what is worse. To purposefully choose to support genocide like that, or to be so beholden and such a zealot for ideology that you will just unflinchingly, unquestioningly glob on to any chant, any scene, and wholeheartedly support it, even if it means genocide, because you are trying to signal some false virtue. That's what I can't stand. That just so perfectly represents that. So perfectly represents it. Okay, coming up, we still have some of the There were no bad moments except for Newsom at the debate last night, but also George Santos. I don't know why George Santos, they voted for him to go. I really don't care about this. I actually don't dislike him. I have no reason to dislike him. Everyone's like, yes, it's the right thing. The Republicans should have done it. Okay, now do Gold Bars Bob. Because Gold Bars Bob, I mean, there's literal receipts. George Santos hasn't even had due process. You can be accused of something to be drummed out of Congress. Yep. Like, they haven't even had a trial yet. I mean, I guess that's the, you know, Republican Party of due process. We got a lot more on that. Stick with us. All right, as we move, our friends over at Hillsdale College. You know, it was like watching, basically, I think that the debate last night was the difference between, you know, somebody who is maybe, you know, could have been educated at Hillsdale and somebody who wasn't. Let's just put it like that. Hillsdale College is a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they're all about the defense of liberty. And they believe that education is incredibly important to living free. I mean, you can't have one without the other. And that they were founded to offer exactly that sort of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties. They were founded in 1844. They've been going through, pushing for that mission still today, upholding that. You can see a video showing you exactly how effective they've been defending American liberty, not just on their Michigan and D.C. campuses, but just across the nation at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. To check out everything that they offer, because they have all kinds of online courses led by their faculty and scholars. They have an amazing Christmas video that's up right now that you're going to want to put on repeat with their awesome choir. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, see everything that they have to offer, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, improving hearts.
So I was talking to a fella who had made the move from California to Florida, and he was telling me that Florida is much better governed, safer, better budget, lower taxes, all this stuff. And he's really happy with the quality of life. And then he paused and he said, "Oh, by the way, I'm Gavin Newsom's father-in-law." So we do count Gavin's in-laws as some of the people that have fled California and come to the state of Florida. And why are we getting people to come? We have a 50-year low in the crime rate. You don't see, in the last 10 years, we've had a 45% decline in homelessness. California's had a 45% increase in homelessness. We back the blue. I was walking the streets of San Francisco a couple months ago, and I had some of the cops in San Francisco do a beeline to come over to me, and I didn't know what they were going to say. And they're like, "We want to thank you for standing for law enforcement, because we don't get that support in the state of California."
So his own dad, actually... And talking about Gavin Newsom's own dad, actually said, "Yeah, I want to move to, we're moving to Florida." They were happy. They couldn't even stand all of the policies of his own son. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this second hour now. And we're following the story and pulling up some of this latest thing. So they jettisoned George Santos from Congress, which I think is stupid. They've expelled him. They had the vote. I mean, they had a number of Republicans that came out and said, I love how Republicans have all the time in the world to go after, to do Democrats' work for them and go after members of their own. The thing is that he hasn't even had a trial. So they don't even know if these charges that are against him are legit or not, because they haven't had a trial. Whereas Goldbar, Bob Menendez, they have receipts and all kinds of stuff, and they've admitted it and everything else. So they said that they voted. They voted. I mean, I don't know. It sounded like they were going to have, they had 105 Republicans vote yes. And it sounded like at first, though, yesterday going into it, that they weren't going to do it, but now it's already been done. So, yeah, and he's hit back at them. Obviously, he's, you know, to hell with this place is what he said. So now Republicans have a smaller majority in the House. It doesn't really change a whole lot. They have a smaller majority in the House. But how stupid. I mean, I guess what they want do they want the moral high ground on it? I don't know. Like, oh, well, we've got the moral high ground on dealing with all of this. That's something. What they did is what the voters are tasked with doing. The voters determine whether or not they want someone in office or not. It's something that the voters do. You have Republicans that, you know, couldn't go after Rashida Tlaib, but they're going to go after George Santos. They couldn't go after Rashida Tlaib after all of the anti-Semitic comments that she's made and the pro-Hamas stuff that she has done inside and the stuff that she's even that's OK. But George Santos, they haven't even had a trial yet. I'm all about having trials and due process. I don't like to, you know, take whatever first and then have due process. I like the trial, have due process and then render a penalty. So I just think this is weird that, I don't know. I mean, they couldn't even, Jamal Bowman got less of a penalty. They did try to fast track this motion to remove Bowman over his fire alarm thing. Lorraine has a piece out about, or coming out here and momentarily, about the Santos stuff over at Chapter and Verse on Substack, because she's been following all of the Santos stuff. I mean, it's just wild to me. I mean, do I think that the guy is not a, I mean, he's not a saint, obviously. But this is, to me, and Kane, if I'm being obtuse on this, let me know. But it feels like a situation of Republicans being played by Democrats and, like, willingly knowing they're being played and just going into it because they think it's going to give them some sort of moralistic edge.
Yeah. I mean, what other explanation is there?
I like George Santos. I'm going to go on record. I don't think he should have. It's why you have trials. You're going to kick this guy to Congress before you even have a trial? You guys are stupid. Good grief. This is so dumb. This is so dumb. I mean, this is like Newsom level stuff. Does that mean to say? I don't care. Really don't care. Maybe it is. So they had this vote. You had what? How many Republicans did I say? You had 105 yes votes. 105 yes votes.
And they needed, what, 2/3 for this vote, right?
Mm-hmm. And so he's going to be the sixth person, first in 20 years, sixth person to be kicked out of the House. Not since, what, the, what, 2002, I think. Someone was voted out. So the Santos, apparently he was accused of using his mom's credit card information and using it to make significant donations to his campaign. Like, he spent tens of thousands of dollars on legal fees and all this other stuff. And Kathy Hochul is going to replace Santos. Obviously, it'll be a Democrat. So they're going to flip the seat back. So it's a competitive seat. So it's a seat it's red and it's going to go to blue. So Republicans literally just gave Democrats a seat. I'm sitting like this and holding my hands together so I don't throw something at the camera. Do you want to lose? Did these people want to lose? I'm a big believer in real politics. Very big believer. Let's just look at this for a moment. Because I can't see, Kane, what is the upside to this for Republicans? Give me an upside. Give me something.
I don't.
Give me one thing.
Maybe they were promised something in a vote for the future, for a future bill or something. I don't know. There has to be something that's under the table or unseen because I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. By the way, quick correction for myself. It was Newsom's father-in-law, not Newsom's dad, his father-in-law. I thought I added the in-law, but I don't think I did. I don't see the upside. I've been looking at this story. I don't see what benefit Republicans have from doing this. And if they think that it's going to give them a moral high ground with people, that is so inside baseball, most people don't care, number one. And number two, if they think that it's going to prove something to Democrats, Democrats already don't care. Are you kidding me? They've got Gold Bar Bob. I mean, they've got Rashida Tlaib. I mean, they have a ton of folks that actually could, you know, we could have serious conversations about this stuff. Ilhan Omar is one of them. So why are they doing this? What is the purpose of this? This is just goofy. Excuse me. It's just goofy. And the trial. What about the trial? There's no trial. They're just going to. What if the charges are proven false? What if he's exonerated? So, what if? Let's just play this game. What if he's exonerated and he's been kicked out of the House? And they can't prove the charges. That's a problem, isn't it? So what is his recourse going to be? How does the House address this? You're giving up a seat to Kathy Hochul. She's going to pick a Democrat to fill this seat. You're giving it up to a Democrat. For the purpose of what? No clue. No clue at all. This is just some of the dumbest stuff. I'm going to come back to this because we got a few other things. So looking at Israel, Hamas decided they didn't want a ceasefire. They had violated the ceasefire before it expired, by the way, just FYI. They had already violated it when they started firing on Israeli troops. So I'm not quite sure why. Oh, well, it's expired. I posted a video and I'd asked a question about this. It's the video of one of the women who was taken from, I think it was the music festival. She's one of the young women who's taken from the music festival. And they released her to the Red Cross in Gaza yesterday, Mia Shim. And she's walking through an angry, I mean, the crowd is, it is a crowd, all right. I mean, there are probably thousands of people in the street. Very angry Gazans who are screaming at her. Are they Gazans or Hamas? So this is the question that I had asked. Because if you look at this video, there are, I mean, you can, the Hamas guys, you can see them, the Hamas people, they're there with their stuff on their heads and all that, the little Rambo kind of things on their heads. There is a brain riotous crowd of several thousand strong screaming at her. She looks absolutely terrified as she is guided by the Red Cross towards the Red Cross vehicle. I mean, you can just see in her face, if you're watching the simulcast, Juan is showing you the video. And in the video, you can see all of the members of the crowd that are not even, they don't have the Hamas, they're not kitted out in the Hamas stuff. So who in the world are the, who's the crowd? Are they the, are they Gazans? Are they Hamas? I mean, are they all Hamas? Are they all Gazans? I mean, I'm just curious. Who are all of these people? Because we keep hearing that there's all these innocent civilians. And I look at all of this and I see if there's civilians. And I've seen, you know, in some of these other videos, the video of the one girl who was taken at the end. She was taken from the music, the peace festival. Her broken body was in the back of the truck. And you see these people who are not dressed up like Hamas. They're regular everyday people in Gaza walk up and spit on her body. Who are all these people? This kind of dovetails with what we were talking about yesterday. How you have for 20 years now, people who have been educated into thinking that they have to hate Jewish people. It's not just about Israel. It's you hate Jews. They can't exist. Israel can't exist. And you wonder why no other Arab nations want to take these people, want to take Gazans coming, that nobody, no other Arab nations want them. When you look at the crowds, when these hostages are released, you kind of get a sense of why. Innocent civilians, I mean, there's a lot of people there, and they're all screaming at this hostage. It's just, it's sad. It could have gotten, been very violent, I think. I mean, it looked like it was on the edge of a knife of getting super violent. Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a study coming out of Scotland highlights, Kane, a concern, I don't know why I'm talking in a Scottish accent, concerning link between adolescents that use social media frequently. They say they're more prone to making dangerous decisions. Probably because everybody's trying to compete with each other. Living my best life. Hashtag living my best life. I mean, it just doesn't it seem like that. Remember, what you see on social media is a curated life. That's why I hate, so I don't know if you can tell, I hate Instagram. I'm on it because everyone's like, why don't you post on Instagram? Like, because I don't, because I hate Instagram. I am like a 1,000-year-old person in this, but I don't know. Let's see. Minnesota Middle School, they have banned students' cell phones, and kids are not happy. Wah, wah. Oh, kids aren't happy. This school, they told students a year ago, yeah, you're not bringing your cell phones in all the time. They said it's made a night and day difference. They said it's game changing. It has a huge impact on their kids. They say that now they're actually engaging with each other. They're talking with each other. There's really good classroom discussion. And that's I do agree with that. I think kids spend way too much time on their phones. They spend way too much time on their devices. And it doesn't help when the adults in their lives encourage it by doing the same and modeling that behavior. Let's see here. This is a story I want. The forklift story. So forklift is like a big thing. So like my stepdad drives a forklift. Like my kids are like, Grandpa, Papa drives a forklift. It's the coolest thing ever. This 12-year-old stole a forklift, led police on an hour-long chase. Okay, how fast do those go? Me, not knowing much about forklifts. I mean, what, 10 miles an hour? They even go that fast?
Yeah, a little more than that. So if you're on the road.
Yeah, this 12-year-old kid, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Isn't it snowing up there right now? He led police on an hour-long chase. He hit 10 parked vehicles. It was a construction genie. Does this matter? Telehandler. It weighs 35,000 pounds. He stole it outside Forsyth Middle School. It was unlocked with the key right inside the cab. Real smart. And they said it was a dangerous situation. It could have ended with injuries. Thankfully, it didn't. And it was like just shortly before 7 p.m. Saturday when it happened. And so, yeah, they pursued it at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Are you serious? 15 to 20 miles an hour. And they said that they were telling, you know, don't go in front of the forklift. They were telling the kid to pull over, all of this other stuff. He left city limits and all this. And they had a county sheriff also in pursuit. He was taken into custody, put into juvie. No one was injured. 15 to 20 miles per hour. My gosh. Where were the parents at this whole time? This is disgusting. A body of a missing man was found decomposing in the vents at a community college. Yeah, they found him. Sadly, he was reported missing back on November 1st. And no other information's available. That's horrible. Stick with us. When you have Black Rifle Coffee and then you have the other coffee, you realize how much better Black Rifle Coffee is. And it's more affordable. You can join the coffee club at Black Rifle Coffee Club because they have the best roast that you can imagine. It's a veteran-owned company that employs veterans and active duty. They've been raising money through the boot campaign, a very well-respected veterans organization that's been helping veterans deal with the invisible wounds of war. They do such a great job at everything that they do. And with Black Rifle Coffee, too, they want to make sure that you can get your coffee, get it sent to your house, free shipping, pick your roast, your frequency of shipment. That's the coffee club. You're going to save and you're never, ever going to run out of coffee unless your coffee machine breaks is the situation that I'm in right now. And if you don't drink coffee, but you want to support the cause, they've got all kinds of awesome mugs, T-shirts, hoodies, hats, so much more. Black Rifle Coffee Company makes the best coffee that is on the market. And they roast it 5 days a week in right here in the U.S. of A. in their two facilities in Tennessee and Utah. Make sure you check it out and raise money for the boot campaign. You buy those ready-to-drink coffees, that money goes right to helping veterans through the boot campaign. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Fuel your caffeine fix and make a difference in the lives of vets and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you know how we roll here on the Dana Show. I don't know how long we can let the illustrious Donnie Hathaway play without getting in trouble, but, you know, it's December 1st, and I love me some Christmas. And I love Christmas music. Oh, get it, Donnie. Shake a hand. Donnie Hathaway's This Christmas is one of the songs we got to start it with because it is a vibe. It sets the mood. It's happy. Oh, get it. With the horns, get it in there if you can't listen because the simulcast. Shake a hand, shake a hand. I don't even know if that's what the man's saying, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Yeah, there you go. Oh, my gosh. I heard this song all the time growing up, but my stepdad is a huge Motown fan. huge Motown fan. And I got into my first concert when I was growing up as a kid was literally Al Green. It's the first concert I ever went to. And I was 15. I knew every song. And I was, I'm sure I, you know, stuck out like a sore thumb. And I'm like, why are we the youngest people here? But it was, I mean, I love all of it. And I love Donny Hathaway's stuff. I remember when, you remember Friday nights? Friday nights was Blockbuster Video Night. You get to go and you pick a movie. And, you know, I'd get to pick one. And my parents got to pick one. And I remember one time they picked James Brown live. And so I got to know all James Brown stuff. So I grew up loving, you know, all this, loving Donny Hathaway, loving the Supremes, loving Al Green, loving James Brown, all of it. I don't know. I had a very interesting upbringing. And I heard this song every Christmas. Of course, my stepdad had, he had vinyl. I heard this on vinyl. And he was very particular. He had Donny Hathaway's album. He had this on, I think it was on B-side. I don't even remember. But he would play the song. And we'd be decorating the tree. And it would be Bing Crosby, some this, some Elvis, and some Donny Hathaway. And I mean, it is, it's just like a whole vibe. So we kick off the whole holiday season. Little Donny Hathaway, we got a little Bing Crosby, we got a little Paul McCartney and Wings, because you got to play that even though my kids, you know, object. It's such a great song. Kane's over here just jamming. You're jamming. Donny Hathaway is a mood, man. You can't be mad when you're listening to Donny Hathaway. You're just like, you know what? Shake a hand. That's right. Steve. Steve, were you familiar with Donny Hathaway until you started working on the show? Oh, yeah. See, everybody knows the song. Everybody knows this song. Everybody does. You know, Dionne Warwick doing Little Drummer Boy? That's one of the best, too. That's such a great song. Oh, my gosh, the fireside's blazing bright, and they're caroling through the night, y'all. Oh! It's Friday. It's December 1st. You guys think I'm joking. I put this video up. I don't think we can play it because it'll probably be like a copyright violation, but you can go to my Instagram page, at DLash, and you can find this video. It's this SNL thing that they did. The song was like, I Wish It Was Christmas Today, and it was like a goofy little skit that they did, and it was Jimmy Fallon and some of the other guys, Horatio Sands, and they would, he'd play this little guitar, and they would sing, and it was kind of goofy. Well, they had the Muppets do it, and the guy who was doing the Kermit puppet that day was losing his mind. But I'm like, that's me on Christmas, though. I am that Kermit puppet on Christmas. You guys thought I was joking. I'm not. Not joking. So anyway, we have officially kicked it off. So when you rejoin me on Monday, we're going to have like a whole snowy theme back here. Who knows? We could have back here. We might have like some mounds with some decorated trees on them. We might have some Hobby Lobby trees up in here. You don't even know what we're going to have in here. I mean, it's going to be a winter wonderland. Fa-la-la-la-la. Deck my halls. See, that's what you can tell everybody this time of year when you're displeased. Instead of, you know, bless your heart, just say, deck my halls. You know, all right. But it's officially kicked off. I told Lorraine, I dropped her a message and I said, Donny Hathaway time. And she's probably like, what? What is, she's probably thinking, she's like, she's buried in the Santos congressional stuff. So, speaking of, we were talking a little bit about that just a little bit earlier. All the Santos stuff. Which I still think is ridiculous. They just went ahead, go ahead and give up a seat. It's not like we were, you know, we have seats to give in the House. There was a Christmas gift from Republicans to Democrats, Kane. We're just going to go ahead and start giving all the seats out. Just give all the seats. High five all the angels. Just go ahead and give all the seats out. That's all right. Just give all our seats away. So now we're down. What are we down to? We're down to how many? Four seats, four-seat majority.
A three-seat majority now, I think.
I think it's four.
Is it four?
I think it was five. Now it's four. Yeah, now it's a lot less now, that's for sure. So great job, Republicans. Great job. I mean, there hasn't been a trial yet. Guy hadn't even been convicted, but, you know, okay, let's just go ahead. We'll just jettison him out. Meanwhile, you got Gold Bar Bob. Gold Bar Bob up there, who's definitely, I mean, Jamal Bowman. I mean, how many other people? We could sit here and go on and on. All right, a couple of other things I want to make sure that we are touching on as well. Can we, because I got a lot of audio still of this debate. It was really good. Did you guys know that while all this was happening, Bob the Builder was out there? Actually, that's mean. I shouldn't say that because Bob the Builder actually fixed stuff. Secretary Mayor Newmom, Poop Booty Juice, he was getting mocked by protesters during a college speech at Michigan State University. They were calling him Petrol Pete because I guess the alliteration, you know, right. they were calling him Petrol Pete. But he's, I've got some, the whole thing, we haven't heard from him in a long time. Like, we haven't heard from him. You know what would have been smart for the Biden administration to do? They should have come out and been like, remember, you know, how previous Christmases due to lockdown, we had all these problems with transportation and supply chain stuff. Well, now all of this has been solved and we don't have this. And they could have stuck Mayor Secretary Pete Buttigieg out there to talk about it. And they haven't. So they sent him up to Michigan State University to try to sell EVs. Is he a car salesman or transpo secretary? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, which is it? I can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. So he is apparently, he was speaking up there pushing EVs, which, by the way, I don't think anybody's going to be getting an EV for Christmas. I don't think, yeah, because the demand, nobody wants them. Nobody wants these things, except unless it's that truck. Hold up. What are you going to say, Kane?
I was going to say the weird thing is people are looking for coal in their stockings this year.
Yeah, people want to be the bad kid because you get energy. You get fuel in your stocking.
Reliable.
When did that become a bad thing?
Reliable energy.
You get reliable, luscious energy. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and give me coal, Santa. Bring it. Yeah, go ahead. Fill my stocking all the way up. Why don't you, big guy? Go ahead. Fill it all the way up. Right up to the brim. The Tesla Cyber Beast. Did y'all watch this video? I can't remember if I sent it out to you. And I did. I think I did tweet it out. Musk, we made fun of it. And it literally looks like a child's drawing. I mean, I've never seen anything that looks more like a child's drawing in my life. It is apparently also the body of it can withstand 9mm and 45. Yeah. Well, Musk tweeted about that yesterday and everyone else was like, just shoot the glass. Yeah, but you know, you're supposed to hide in the body. I mean, you get what I'm saying. Anyway, it's the most expensive of their all-wheel and rear-wheel drive, like the versions of it, the Cyber Beast. So you have the Cyber Truck. The Cyber Beast is the most expensive. So this, I think it's the Cyber Truck that starts at 61. This one starts at 100, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Cyber Beast. It was pulling a 40,000-pound sled against an F-350 on a track. They had it running up against a Porsche 911. And it was towing a Porsche 911, and it was beating a Porsche 911. It goes from, hold up, what's the top speed's 130 miles per hour. This thing is 6,800 something pounds. Towing capacity of 11,000 pounds. Designed for all terrains. It will terrify people as it approaches them because they're going to be like, how did this leap off my child's page into the actual meat space in which I exist? It takes 2.6 seconds, 0-60.
Wow. While towing?
Yeah. So that is what had me, because I like fast cars. I love fast cars. I like heavy cars. So I know we're going to get more meat and potatoes and politics here in a moment. So when I had, as my kids got a little older, I had my mom vehicle, and it was making me depressed because they were started driving and I was all depressed and stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to drive this big vehicle because it's empty and quiet and it's sad. So I was like, I want something that's loud and fast, and I want to feel like I'm in fear of my life every time I close the door. And I checked all those boxes off. But the first thing I had asked, though, is I wanted a Dodge Demon. And I don't even think I got the part out of that. And Chris looked at me and says, no. He's like, you're not getting, he's like, that is not happening. I'm like, but why? It checks these boxes. And he's like, you're going to wrap that around a tree. Was his first thing. What, don't you shake your head over there? Don't you shake your head. I'm living with the thermostat, okay?
Sorry, I agree with Chris on this one.
And he's like, you're going to wrap it around a tree. I'm like, but it goes fast. And he's like, his eyes get bigger. Like, thank you for making my case for me. Yeah, that's great. So I did get a vehicle that goes fast, and it has heavy door, and I'm very pleased with it. But yeah, and I was like, I was rolling off all the, he was saying no to all of them. And then, but this one now, because he likes gadgets, he is not as opposed to EVs as I am. I'm not really opposed to EVs. I really don't care how this is taken. I don't care about the whole environmental argument. I just really don't give a rat's backside. I don't care. If it looks cool and it goes fast, I'm into it. You know, like I like it. And it's also kind of a gadget. But this thing is weird. I feel like you would have to take a class to use it, right? It's like if a DeLorean was poorly drawn and also a truck, it would be this, right? Like the back of it looks like a damn barbecue grill. Like, Kane, you could roast your meat in that.
Right.
It's weird. The way it all lifts up, I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me. I don't like modernity. I am I'm full on maximalist traditionalist, hardcore. But there is something to be said. Again, it's a giant vehicle that goes, 2.6 seconds, 0 to 60. So that means, your jowls are going to fly back to the seat of, the vehicle as you take off. I kind of like that, right?
It's just a couple of weapons short of an urban assault vehicle. If you think about it. I mean, it's bulletproof.
And they're like, look, you can raise up the little, what is that, like a sun-powered thing? A solar thing?
It's a solar panel to charge while you're...
My only objection to EVs is how much of it has to be sourced in China. How much of the materials have to be sourced in China. That's my only objection. I don't care about the environment, all that. Why? Because gas and coal, it's like way better. Our extraction's cleaner. It's just so much better. But I do like, I have an options. I don't like being gaslit into thinking that it's better for the environment because nobody cares. But Musk is like, the doors are bulletproof, 45 and 9mm. He had a video in Austin. They did this whole thing where they were demonstrating it, and they went to the track and they showed this. So it starts at 99.9, 845 horsepower tri-motor, 0 to 60 in 2.6, sub 11 second quarter mile.
Quiet as a mouse.
That's the terrifying thing. You don't hear this thing rolling up on you. Which would be good in a zombie apocalypse, because in my expertise, the zombies are attracted by the noise. So I'm just saying, but they show you like camping with it. It shows all these people taking this thing out to camp. You're gonna go camp with it. It would be kind of interesting. It's a brutalist design. It really is. It's a very brutalist looking design for sure. And I feel like you could cut your eye open on the edges. It's not very child friendly, but I mean, I like it goes fast. It's powerful. I just wonder what do you think the battery's like in this thing? To replace it, it'd be more than the damn truck, wouldn't it?
It'd have to be hefty.
Oh, jeez. It's probably 3/4 of the weight right there.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Colorful underwear, people stealing wine, and an explosive smart toilet. That's what we have on deck today. Yeah, I know, all these things. So a robbery suspect, police were able to catch him because of his very colorful underwear. A pair of multicolored briefs that peeked out above his trousers helped police arrest him a year later. This is what the Fed said in New York, the Associated Press. It happened at a tobacco shop in Queens. Three masked men got out of a Mazda, entered the store, according to the federal complaint. Two of the men, they pointed their guns at the employees and customers. The third robbed the cash register. But they spotted very colorful briefs and a large letter R in white in the year 1990 in yellow. And so a tipster passed along the Instagram handle of the suspect with the colorful underwear, and they found them. They had sold the merchandise at another Queens location. And so they were able to get him because of his britches. Because he's stupid. Yeah. Oh, man. Now, I don't know. I watched this South Park episode where they had the Japanese toilets, and I was like, that looks so cool. And they're really kind of, they're very interesting. This smart toilet apparently exploded while someone was using it. Not because someone was using it. This man barely managed to get off his smart toilet with an intact backside. After smoke started coming out of the toilet bowl and the entire thing burst into flames. The incident occurred on November 10th. The man was using the toilet. At first, there was a smell of smoke. The plumes of white smoke started billowing from the bowl. It's like a witch's cauldron. And finally, just as the man got up from the toilet, it burst into flames. He took photos. He didn't even have time to put his shorts on, but he did take photos. It is pretty wild. It was like all lit up. I mean, it literally looked like a Halloween decoration. Now, they think it was a short circuit that sparked the fire, and they didn't actually say what make this was. I kind of would like to know what make it was, but, I mean, it wasn't made properly or something, but it blew up. But that's kind of fascinating, just saying. Also, let's see here. Oh, here's the one I wanted. So I got two wine stories. There's one guy who stole, I guess he was going to have a party. He walked out of a Publix in Florida with 12 bottles of wine. Dang. Yeah. I love how this Publix is on Fiddlesticks Boulevard in Fort Myers. God love you, Fort Myers. Tampa, they're looking for, they couldn't catch him. How do you not catch a guy who steals 12 bottles of wine?
How do you carry 12 bottles of wine?
No joke, right? They're like, if anybody sees him, call Crime Stoppers. What? He entered a Publix and literally walked right out with 12 bottles of wine. So you could do it like that, or you could do it like this chick. A Florida woman got mad because she demanded that a couple buy her wine. And then she took a wine bottle and allegedly used it as a weapon to hit a woman on the head and knocked her boyfriend out cold. Sanford, Florida, Angelique Glenn was arrested Thursday after a couple, she was demanding the couple pay for her bottle of wine at a gas station. She said that Glenn placed her bottle of wine on the counter with her order and they didn't want to pay for it. She got mad, threatened them. So she's in custody, of course. That's not how you do it. Two winos there. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
That's you supported Obama's reforms.
That's
those are facts. They're just
such
simple facts. The
you're
fact that your greatest contribution, Ron,
you are just
to this debate
up.
Is shooting
well, listen, here's
people
the thing.
Backpacks.
I don't mind.
I mean, that's so inhumane.
I don't mind
so
him lying
unserious.
To me. I don't mind Gavin lying to me, but I do mind him lying to you. He is sitting there saying that Joe Biden is willing to solve this problem. Is there anybody out there that actually believes this?
Support
Joe Biden
plan.
Created this problem. So if he's
plan.
Willing to lie to you about that, you know he's lying to you about all these other facts and figures, about all this other stuff. He's just throwing stuff out to see what sticks against the wall. This is a slick, slippery politician whose state is failing. People are leaving his state, and he's trying to run interference for his failure.
That was a really smart soundbite. I mean, we were talking about some of the funnier stuff that happened during the debate, but that was a really good moment because he looked right at the camera and he's like, I don't mind him lying to me, but what I do mind is him lying to you. Newsom was just, all he could do was just chuckle and like purse his lips and, you know, bob his head. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this third hour. And a lot of stuff to touch on because we've been recapping all of this with the debate last night, which I think is really, I think it's good. I got to play this audio. I just saw this audio soundbite too, because we were also talking about the Santos stuff, the George Santos stuff. I'm going to drop something for you guys into Slack, and I don't even know how to take that one. And we're going to get into some of the stuff, the ongoing stuff with Israel, because they voted to expel George Santos today. What is happening with John Fetterman? Because he basically stuck a finger in the eye of the Hamas protesters, right? He's done a couple of things where we're like, okay, this is awkward. Credit where due. And then he literally just said this. Kane, dude, let's just play it for everybody. And then we'll whiskey tango foxtrot after. Go ahead.
And you've also been calling for to get rid of Menendez, I know. But first, before we talk about that, what's your reaction to the expulsion?
Well, it's like I'm not surprised. But to me, I think the more important picture is that we have a colleague in the Senate that actually did much more sinister and serious kinds of things. Senator Menendez, he needs to go. And if you are going to expel Santos, how can you allow to somebody like Menendez to remain in the Senate? And, you know, Santos's kind of lies were almost, you know, funny. And like, you know, he... you know, landed on the moon and that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, I think, you know, Menendez, I think, is really a senator for Egypt, you know, not New Jersey.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, first off, this is the third time where he has said something. This is John Fetterman. The third time where he has said something that is something, Kane, the something that he said.
You can do it.
I don't know. My can is really
hard. You can do it.
It is the opposite of the word wrong.
It's correct. Is it?
Oh, my
gosh.
Are
you looking for correct? The word correct?
Correct. Oh my gosh, my jaw sore now. This is nuts.
I knew you could do it.
What in the world? What's happening here? That he said that. That's John Fetterman. What do we do when someone that we don't like says something correct, not once, not twice, but three times?
Give credit where credit's due, obviously.
I'm not going to give him, you know what? I'm going to reciprocate the sensibility. I'm not going to give him any slack for not, for wearing a hoodie on television. Right. I mean, it's The View. I don't it's care what view, he wears on exactly. The View, whatever. I'm gonna overlook the hoodie. I did it. I don't. I'm awkward. I don't know. I feel like Ricky Bobby doing an interview. I don't know what to do with my hands right now. This is awkward. This is so awkward. I don't even know. I don't even. You know what? It's not as awkward as though. Let's talk for a moment. Anthony Blinken went back to Israel so he could lecture them. So he could lecture them. They've been telling Egypt. No, you need to. Or Egypt. They've been telling Israel. You need to do this, and this is how you should react, and all of this. I want you to listen to the soundbite, because he is talking about sending aid and fuel and trucks to Gazan government. Kane, just a quick reminder, Gazan government is who?
That's Hamas.
That's right, that's right, yeah. Go ahead and play this, audio soundbite too.
The way Israel defends itself matters. Mm-hmm. It's imperative that Israel act in accordance with international humanitarian law and the laws of war, even when confronting a terrorist group that respects neither. In my meetings today with the Prime Minister and senior Israeli officials, I made clear that before Israel resumes major military operations, it must put in place humanitarian civilian protection plans that minimize further casualties of innocent Palestinians. That means taking more effective steps to protect the lives of civilians, including by clearly and precisely designating areas and places in southern and central Gaza where they can be safe and out of the line of fire. It means avoiding further significant displacement of civilians inside of Gaza. It means avoiding damage to life-critical infrastructure, like hospitals, like power stations, like water facilities. And it means giving civilians who've been displaced to southern Gaza the choice to return to the north as soon as conditions permit. There must be no enduring internal displacement.
I mean,
all of this can be done in a manner that still enables Israel to achieve its objectives. Of course, we know that every one of these elements is made more complicated by the fact that Hamas intentionally embeds itself with civilians within and below hospitals.
So this was all part of them telling Israel, well, you can't operate, you know, in southern Gaza the way you did in the north, and you can't do this, and we've got to send. They don't have to do anything. I mean, I feel as though that ship sailed when Hamas started doing what it did and then hiding out amongst the citizenry. And then furthermore with this, we talked about the video with Mia Shem, and there's more information coming out about this. Mia Shem was one of the people kidnapped and held hostage at the peace festival that was in Israel. And I was reading this article where they said that she had been forced to do these videos wherein she was told to praise Hamas's food. You know, when they Hamas and this is what they raise Gazan residents. This is what they instill in the minds of Gazans, that Israelis are just animals. They had a vet operate on her. Mia Shem was injured. She had been injured by the terrorists, and they had a vet operate on her. And they made her praise them before they would release her. They made her film a video where she had to say, "People are good and kind to me. The food is good and the kindness and everything good." That's what she had said. I mean, you can all and a lot of these hostages, they lost a lot of weight in just a couple of months. You can tell she lost weight as well. And they made her say this as a condition of her being released. And there was footage that Hamas had shared. Reuters had published it, showing hostages that they were badgered to keep waving by the terrorists as they were led across to the Red Cross trucks. They were bullying them into waving at everybody. You know, the crowd of innocent civilians that were there screaming at them and spitting at them and, you know, saying all kinds of horrible things to them. I mean, the family said she's thin, she's weak. They had a vet operate on her arm. They haven't even evaluated the full extent of her injuries. I mean, she's back. They obviously took her back to the hospital, but I mean, this is just horrible. I mean, she looks gaunt. And I mean, all of these people, and when she finally gets to her mother and brother in the video, when they released her after they loaded her in the Red Cross truck and they took her to her family, I mean, she's just terrified. And it's amazing, because I was watching these Red Cross volunteers, and they have these Red Cross people. They have these white, I don't know, these vests that have the giant Red Cross on it. And the crowd is all video. They're all recording and they're yelling at this girl. And the one of the women who's in the Red Cross, she's got a very straight faced, very serious straight face. And she's even using her arms a little bit to try to keep the crowd from just enclosing in on them. It is something else. It's just horrible. Just horrible. You're watching all of this, and then you're hearing Antony Blinken go, oh, well, Israel has to do this. And they don't have to do a damn thing. I've seen so many videos where all of these people would run up to these trucks that Hamas has people in, and they're spitting on the people, or they're screaming death to the Jews or something else. They're not all in Hamas. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to our friend Julio Rosas. He was there in New York. Remember when they did the tree lighting just a couple of days ago? And Hamas decided to not, or the Hamas supporters decided to not read the room before going. And they got, yeah, they're really showing the Jews by, protesting a Christmas tree. Good job. We're going to talk to Julio Rosas about this coming up. But this is just, and for Antony Blinken to go over there and make these demands, you don't tell them. This is my whole point. Israel doesn't really, they don't really need aid money. They don't need any of this. They can buy weapons. They can do all this. They just need everybody to stand out of their way and let them do what they need to do to keep themselves safe. This has been the problem every single time that Hamas has violated a ceasefire or that they have been attacked. You have everyone like Antony Blinken, all these people weighing in, telling them you need to restrict your movements. You need to restrict your response. You know, they've been humanitarians. They didn't violate the ceasefire. That was Hamas that did it. And then Hamas allowed it. They said, go ahead and let it expire. They were asked. Hamas was expected to release more. And they said, we're not releasing any more hostages. There's one woman. She's like dying. She's dying. And she's been asking for her daughter to be released. And they said no. And then they recorded the one dad. They told the dad that his wife and two young little boys were killed. And they recorded him, his reaction to that, to use it as propaganda. Yeah, there's no humanitarianism. The humanitarianism, that bridge has sailed. This is what drags war out longer and makes and costs actually more innocent lives. Are these people's kitten and sunshine goggles that they wear and when they look at the stuff? Those are the people that need to be kept out of the battle room for sure.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You know, you got to get you a little wonderful Christmas time in there. I told you. Gonna start rolling it out ever so carefully on December 1st. Let's see. There are a couple of things here. This was. Let's see. No. I got the wrong headlines here. Let me scroll back. I should have been doing that instead. It's my bad. Let's see. You have to forgive me. I got a little technical difficulty. Okay. This. Apparently, there's a solar storm that is heading for Earth, and it could turn what they call cannibal. A trio of solar storms heading for Earth could hit with a 1-2-3 punch on Friday, potentially disrupting radio and satellite communications, but also apparently causing some impressive aurora, which is this, it's a plural singular, interesting, in the night sky. All three are caused by what they say are coronal mass injections, CMEs. Balls of super hot plasma fired into space and solar flares erupt from the sun's surface. They could also combine to form a cannibal CME, which makes a stronger geomagnetic storm. They say that is caused by an M-class flare that actually took place on Wednesday. So I guess it takes that long to hit at you. It's supposed to happen tomorrow at lunch.
Today.
This was published this morning. It was just, okay, so it's today. They said tomorrow. That's not right. So it's happening, right? Do you notice it? Do you feel like there's a solar flare happening? I don't really feel like a solar flare. I'm just saying. It doesn't really feel like one. Let's see. More than 40 inches of snow blankets the Northeast as the Arctic blast sweeps the country. National Weather Service said that on Wednesday, the areas most affected, it's going to be up like, you know, around Lake Erie, but the snow is going to shift north. I've seen some of my friends like in Idaho and elsewhere say that they've already shared that they've had like a little bit of snow. Didn't people in Missouri get some snow, Kane, or am I crazy?
I think there was a little flurry action.
I think they did get a little bit, but they said that obviously it's going to create, at least it didn't happen like right over Thanksgiving, because yeah, that would have been, that's always like very, that's always troubling when that happens, because then the travel's a nightmare. Let's see here, a couple of other things. You have the, there was a crash in Japan. Pentagon says that an Osprey crew is still missing via the hill after a crash in Japan. They were on this Air Force CV-22B Osprey that crashed off the shore of Yakushima, Japan. That crew is still missing. According to Japanese Coast Guard officials, they said the U.S. military aircraft crashed near the island of Yakushima on Wednesday afternoon, killing at least one crew member, prompting a large rescue operation. They said they were performing a routine training mission when the accident took place. Experts say that Hamas are likely holding American hostages as even more extra leverage against Biden. And let's see, Thailand apparently got its hostages from Hamas.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. You can listen to the radio broadcast coast to coast in a city near you. You can also stream it. You can watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook as well. Check out the podcast. You've heard all that. So welcome back. Bottom of this third hour. We were talking just a little bit earlier as before we went to our headline segment. We touched on, this was just a couple of days ago, when they lit the big Christmas tree in downtown New York. That's like a big thing. That's like the kickoff of Christmas, lighting the big Christmas tree. And it comes at a time when you have a lot of pro-Hamas, very pro, I guess, or anti-Israel protest taking place, not just, you know, overseas, not just, you know, in Gaza, not just in parts of Europe, but here in the United States as well. And I was trying to figure out why in the world people who are trying to get one on the Jews are protesting a Christmas tree lighting. That one kind of flies over the head a little bit, but it was really disturbing. Some of the signage, there were a handful of placards that had Nazi symbols on them and all kinds of stuff. I was looking at some of the tweets from our friend Julio Rosas, who's the author of Fiery But Mostly Peaceful, The 2020 Riots and the Gaslighting of America. You could say he's probably our nation's foremost riot expert, having attended probably more than he can count. And yeah, he's an independent field reporter. He joins us now via Skype. Julio, thank you so much for joining us. Still capturing. I mean, you are really a riot expert. Tell me what you saw when you were down there at Rockefeller Center in New York, because what were they doing to raise awareness? And why did so many of them have like actual swastikas on their signs?
So the reason why they wanted to disrupt this great holiday, you know, Christmas tradition is because, according to them, you know, there can be no celebration while a quote unquote genocide is taking place. And so because of that line of thinking, if there's suffering happening in one part of the world, then we can have no enjoyment here in the United States. With the swastika and Nazi symbol question, so because of how much they view the state of Israel as this, like I was saying, like this country that's committing genocide, they were comparing Israel and the IDF to Nazi Germany. But, you know, as you and I both know, if Israel wanted to commit an actual genocide, they wouldn't be doing what they're currently doing to try to minimize civilian casualties.
Yeah, that's the point. Our friend Julio Rosas, you can find him on X as well, Julio_Rosas11. I think we got that in lower third, too. You wrote that large scale fights were breaking out at least a couple of times. Police had to use pepper spray as the people were marching. The crowd was roaming the streets. People were vandalizing buildings with graffiti, others putting anti-Israel stickers on stores like Starbucks because the rioters were believing that they conducted business in Israel. I mean, it's like the 1930s.
Right. And I've covered a lot of these, you know, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas marches since October 7th. And this was by far the most chaotic one. The number of fights that were happening, it instantly brought me back to 2020. The only difference is that the current thing was different. It's no longer Black Lives Matter per se. It's now, you know, Palestine and Gaza and all this stuff. And so I've been warning people for a very long time now that we're heading into an election season. I am concerned that as the war continues and as Hamas does lose, because that's the trajectory that they're on, that these hardcore activists are going to escalate their tactics, because they're going to feel like that they have lost and that our government hasn't given in to their demands. And so they're going to feel like they're not going to have much recourse except to do even more radical things. And they've already done enough. But with an election season and with everything that's going on, I just think that this is going to be one of the things that is going to be part of the chaos for next year.
Tell me a little about the people that were at this protest turned riot, because how many of them do you think, from what you've seen, are actually knowledgeable about either the chants that they're chanting, the stuff that they're saying? I mean, surely they have to realize, I mean, Hamas has it in its charter. It's one of the reasons why they got more popular than Fatah, that they don't believe in Israel's right to exist. They will always oppose a two-state solution, which is always weird to hear these people say they want a ceasefire and they want this now and they want a two-state solution, when that's not the elected government's goal, the elected government that also could take power in West Bank. How knowledgeable are these people that you're coming across? I mean, are they aware of this, do you think?
I think it's more of a sense of informed ignorance, because when you ask them, because as I've asked many people mm-hmm. at these things, do you think Hamas is a terrorist organization? They 9 out of 10 times they'll say no. It is actually a justified resistance movement. I mean, it's kind of like this pseudo intellectual. You think, well, no, we you know, it's we reject the framing because you're wrong and because we're right. So they, you know, they definitely have this mindset that October 7th was not unjustified wasn't unjustified, or that the current resistance, quote unquote, is more than okay. And not only that, but we need to bring some of the lessons here, because that's why this whole, you know, DEI woke ideology of decolonization, well, they think that we're part of that too. And so, again, I understand why people may not want to think that this war is our problem, and we are involved in it in some way. And so they say, well, we should, you know, we shouldn't pay any attention to that. It's like, well, here's the sad thing. There's a lot of people in the United States who do, and because they think we are the problem. And as 2020 showed, if they think the United States is the problem, they're going to take kinetic action to try to fix it, in their view.
Yeah, that's a very good point. The people that were at the Christmas tree event, what was kind of their reaction? Because in the past, you know, whenever you saw BLM, as you've seen, and you also went and looked, I was trying to remember, the Chas Chop group that was in the Pacific Northwest, it's like they were the only people out on the streets. Everyone else was kind of, nah, we're not, you know, we're going home. We're not coming out. We're not going to watch this like it's a parade or something. I mean, they're actually going to an event that's, you know, to kick off the holiday season. What was the reaction of the people who were just there to watch a tree get lit?
It ranged from annoyance to being scared, because as people know, New York is very crowded downtown Manhattan, and there's a lot of people on the streets as it is. So it wasn't very easy to get around. And then you throw in this large protest that was around the area, it did cause some problems. But then when the fighting started, because it's not easy to get out of a crowded sidewalk, there were actually families who got kind of caught up in that, got caught up in that moment. And this one mother, she was taking her daughter for the first time. And I had to tell them, I said, you need to go around, because where you're walking through right now is not safe. And so they had to leave. And so it's this mentality that, you know, because the country causes so many problems, we cannot enjoy ourselves at all, period. And we need to do these radical things to make the country better. And it makes no sense. I don't think they were really there to change the hearts and minds, because, like I said, their call to action wasn't persuasion, it was disruption. Right. And so that is why, again, when they have this very radical view of what is going on, they're going to take radical steps to try to solve it.
You mentioned in your piece, you had some reporting up at Tablet Mag, Tablet Magazine, tabletmag.com, talking with Julio Rosas. You were saying that there were more than one. There was more than one incident of protesters like taunting police or, you know, trying to or praise. They were bringing up incidents like Derek Chauvin. One of them said, "Which one of y'all want to get Derek Chauvin? I'd give you that Chris Dorner treatment real quick." Talking about the guy who's actually killing cops out in L.A. Just to your point, that doesn't sound like changing of hearts and minds right there.
No, and people say, well, why are they badgering New York City cops? Isn't this about Israel and Gaza and Palestine? And the answer is, well, to them, it's all one and the same. They view the oppression that's happening over there is the same kind that's happening here. And so they view it as like this one struggle, right? When it comes to, like I said, imperialism, capitalism, it's just the latest outlet of this craziness that we saw in 2020. It's a little bit tamer, relatively speaking, compared to 2020, but you know, who knows what happens next year and as things get warmer, because it was pretty cold out there.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple days ago.
Yeah, and when it gets warmer, that's when it usually gets crazier as well. How many people do you think, how many were arrests? Because I know there were arrests. You have video, mostly peaceful.live, where you're showing people getting arrested. Were there a lot of arrests that took place?
There was quite a few. I'd say close to a dozen.
Oh, wow.
Now, of course, what happens to them after they get arrested, you know, they'll probably get let back out in the street the next day because, you know, welcome to post-2020 America. But that says something, because usually the police, you know, unfortunately now they have a very hands-off approach. And prior to the fighting, there were times where the protesters were very aggressive and got in the cops' face, and the cops, who are outnumbered, they decided to just pull back completely. And that happened more than once. There was an assistant chief and his, you know, short little squad was chased down for blocks as the march was happening. So, you know, they're no longer just badgering just the rank and file. I mean, they're going after leadership now. I mean,
chasing police, a police chief.
Yeah.
Wow. Chasing, yeah. Pursuing him while they're out there trying to disrupt a Christmas tree lighting and making families feel too scared to even go and enjoy the start of the season. That is terrifying. And as you say, it looks like there's going to be more to come, particularly if this drags out and continues to drag out more. Good heavens. Julio Rosas, we have all the information. We've been putting it up there in the lower third. You do such great work. The book is fiery, but mostly peaceful. We all remember that, where that comes from. Awesome work as always, Julio. Thank you so much for bringing it to our attention. We'd love to have you back. Take care. Thank you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
California is the only one that oil companies are gouging. Why aren't they doing that to Georgia or Florida or these other states that have lower gas prices? It's because of their policies. That's why people are paying more there. What he's doing in California, what Biden wants to do nationally, is government-dictated green energy policies. They want to kneecap fossil fuels and reliable energy. We've already seen what's happened in California. They have rolling blackouts. He actually implemented a mandate to buy electric vehicles. So pretty soon in California, you're not going to be able to buy a normal car, only electric vehicles. And they celebrated that as like a great thing. A couple days later, there was a notice from the state government telling all EV owners, do not plug in your EV because they don't have enough grid capacity. So he is walking his people into a big time disaster. Oh, what Biden wants to do is he wants to take the California model. He wants to impose that nationally. He wants to take away your ability to purchase the car that you want. He wants to kneecap reliable energy. And he wants to bring these rolling blackouts all across the United States of America. It doesn't work. It's going to cause huge problems.
It was so good. That was the governor's battling DeSantis versus Newsom. And I wrote about it last night. You can find it over at Chapter and Verse over at Substack. He's what's the point that he was making? Newsom was literally trying to say, oh, no, it's the gas and oil. It's the oil companies. They're price gouging us. They're price gouging California. Well, hold up. Well, why didn't they price gouge Florida then? Right. And he's governor, right? So why the hell didn't he do anything if that was true? Barkle, 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 barkle. I guess. I mean, I wouldn't that have made.
Finish him.
That didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense. So I don't know. That was one of the dumbest points ever. And you could see it. DeSantis had this face like, are you serious with me right now? He gets this expression on his face when something's ludicrous. And Gavin's mouth disappeared into his face. His mouth, like, it pursed up into, like, a fine line, and then it just, it's like he ate his own lips. And it, I almost said something so mean just then. You know what I was going to say, Kane? I was going to be like, it's to the, but I didn't say that. I didn't say it.
I'm always scared that someone could pick that up in the microphone.
Well, because apparently the people watching the simulcast read lips. Who knew? And they're like, oh, we know what you said. So I have to cover my mouth when I do it because you clever smart alecks are out there like, that's, we read your lips, Dana. Like, oh, I didn't realize I had like a bunch of forensic lip readers in the audience. Okay. All right. So, try figure that one out. They will. I'm terrified, actually. I'm not terrified, but they'll figure it out. So he just got so mad, and you could see him over there. He just bobbles his head, and he, it's funny. It was funny. He was definitely getting mad. He was getting mad. It didn't work out very well. And then his wife got up and had to intervene, and now they're like, it was rigged. The debate was rigged because you didn't prepare. I mean, it's not Hannity or DeSantis's or anybody else's fault that you can't run your state. How do you have a beautiful state like California? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state. And people are like, well, it's beautiful, but we got to leave. That's how bad this guy is. That is how bad it is. Like, do you want to be able to eat outside and have gorgeous weather 24/7? Yes. Do you want everything to be wonderful and beautiful and get amazing food and just all? Yes. I mean, he ruins it. How do you ruin a state that amazing? How do you ruin the life experience there? You have to suck out loud to make it to where people want to leave beautiful California. I had a friend who left California. They went back to Kansas. Now, I'm not hating on Kansas. I got family there, but oh my gosh, it's flat. You can see your second cousin all the way the hell across the plains. It's flat. And it's cold. It gets cold. All right. Today in stupidity.
Oh, boy. And it is Gavin Newsom on this very subject. He's trying to claim that more Floridians went to California than the other way around.
Sure.
Listen,
okay.
Listen to what he said last night.
The last 2 years, more Floridians going to California than Californians going to Florida.
No, I put up on the screen.
By the way, that's going to be fun to fact check. So,
okay.
What was that twang?
I have no idea.
Dude, you were born and raised in San Francisco. You're generationally wealthy. That's going to be fun to shut up.
The last 2 years, California to Florida, 50,000. Florida to California, 28,000.
Counting is our hard, Kane.
2021, 37,000 to Florida, 24,000 to California. Facts are tough.
The facts. Hashtag facts. All right, folks. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll be behind the mic with you tomorrow.